on Crunch Time on Thursday in the final segment, well, we like to wrap with this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
Oh, are you not going to sing today, Steve?
Oh, I was preoccupied. I'm sorry. It's a lightning round, and I'm outside, and nobody's around, and I'm really scared what's going down. Blah, 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 lightning round.
Maybe I guess he didn't really need to sing today. That's fine. Yeah, it's the lightning round. Hi, everybody. Nick here. I'm going to go over the big sports stories of the day, and Steve is going to try and keep up with me as I go through them. Josh Gordon is no longer a Brown. This is usually something that would be a major career change for any player, but when you have the history Gordon has, and then you're sent to a franchise as strict as the Patriots, could end up being a bit of a problem. Playing with a QB as good as Brady, and this week against his defense as bad as the Lions, could mean big things for Gordon this week and through the rest of the season, seeing as Gordon led the league in receiving yards with a combination of Brandon Weeden, Jason Campbell, and Brian Hoyer at quarterback in 14 games. The Josh Gordon trade to New England will have a big, little, or no impact with the Patriots.
Huh. You know, I actually think initially it'll have a big impact. But what would concern me is this guy just seems to not have long term in his being, whether it's if he's going to fail another drug test, he's going to not show for meetings. He's just too unstable. So I guess in its entirety, I'll say a little impact.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has taken a Tampa Bay team that many thought would be the bottom of the NFL to a 2-0 start, and the Harvard man now leads the NFL in passing yards, yards a game, yards an attempt, and passer rating. Jameis Winston is still suspended for the Bucs' Week 3 game against the Steelers on Monday, then the Bucs have a quick bye in Week 5. So assuming the Fitz magic isn't slowing down, it doesn't look like Winston's going to be starting anytime soon. Including the three games that Fitzpatrick has started, Ryan Fitzpatrick will start over or under 6.5 games this season.
That's a really pain in the neck number. You know, I almost wish I could say pending, but I got to pick a number here because if he's playing like this, let's face it, they're not taking a guy out who's throwing for 350, 400 and winning. I don't trust Winston. He's been struggling. For all we know, he'll come back week five or so. They'll lose a couple games in a row and go right back to Fitzpatrick. So will, in essence, he make four starts? I'm going to go over. Just to aggravate Winston, I'm going over.
All right. Back to the Browns. The Browns have not won a game since Christmas Eve in 2016. They have not been favored to win a game since 2015 when they had a matchup against the 49ers where the Browns were 1.5-point favorites and won by 14. Tonight, the Browns are 3-point favorites at home against the Jets. Which is more likely to happen tonight? The Browns win, the Jets cover, or it's a tie game?
Oh, please. I don't know how I could work this out, but I would give something substantial to see this end in a tie. But it's got to be a tie where it goes into overtime and both teams hit the upright on like a 27-yarder. And just like snap hook one that's like an exaggerated extra point. That's the only way I'd really like a tie. But I'll tell you, December 14th, 1980, I was at Shea Stadium when the Jets played an 0-14 Saints team that they were referring to as the Aints. The Jets lost, and they were handing out bags to put over fans' heads. This is the most Jets opportunity ever. The Browns are going to win, and the Jets are going to jet.
All right. Jimmy Butler is not happy to be playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves. After just 1 year in Minnesota, he's not happy with his contract and wants out. His list? The Brooklyn Nets, the LA Clippers, and the Knicks. So whether it be that Butler doesn't want to play under Tibbs in a system where he led the NBA in minutes played during his career, or the Timberwolves just didn't want to play Butler, it doesn't look like he's going to be there long. Where does Butler end up? Brooklyn, the Clippers, the Knicks, or other?
I don't think he's going anywhere. I heard Thibodeau be like, yeah, we just brought him in. We like the direction we're going in. We're not trading him. And by the way, how bad has your life become when you want to get traded to the Nets? Ugh. That's just tragic. So I'm going to pick other, which is also I'm going to kind of subset as same.
All right. I'm writing that down. Blake Snell is having one of the better under-the-radar seasons in baseball this year, probably because he plays for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Snell is leading the AL in all of baseball in wins with 20, ERA 1.97. He's second in whip in the AL with a .97, has 200 strikeouts on the season. He's trailing Chris Sale and Justin Mr. Upton Verlander, as well as Corey Kluber in most of the other stats, including innings pitched, which is the big knock against Snell, because he only has 169 on the season, while all three of the guys that have listed were above 192. What percent chance do you give Blake Snell of winning the AL Cy Young?
Yeah, that innings pitch number was strange. First of all, I learned yesterday something I had never known, that in order to qualify for the ERA title, you've got to pitch 162 innings. You have to average an inning a game over the course of the season. I had just learned that yesterday. I had never heard that. He's also on pace, if Sale doesn't qualify, to be the first sub-2 ERA title winner since Pedro Martinez back in 2000. So I think he's gaining momentum. I think right now I would actually give him about a 75% chance of winning the Cy Young.
Wow, that's very high for you. Last one here. The NL race for MVP is going to be really, really close. Nolan Arenado has been one of the best third basemen in all of baseball, with his fifth consecutive 30 home run, fourth consecutive 100-plus RBI season. Javier Baez is leading the NL in RBIs with 107. Christian Yelich is leading the National League with a .319 batting average, had one of the best second halves in baseball, as well as leading all field position players in WAR and OPS. Not to forget NL leader in home run Matt Carpenter, plus Paul Goldschmidt and Freddie Freeman, who are always around in the top five in most of all of those categories. Who do you have winning the NL MVP? Arenado, Baez, Yelich, Goldschmidt, Freeman, or Carpenter?
I think Freeman's kind of cooled off. Goldschmidt and Arizona are fading. Yelich, I can't believe he's up to .319. And when the dust settles, people are going to look back and say, maybe J.D. Martinez in the American League, but what about Christian Yelich as the best offseason free agent signing in the National League? Carpenter, a lot of power. Arenado, obviously, a lot of power. Baez, the leader in Ribby. Right now, I would actually, because of their glove, lean Arenado or Baez. So right now, I think because of he got stiffed last year, I'm leaning. You know what? Right now, I'm changing my mind. I'm going with Baez as the leader for now. But it's really close.
It's going to be a lot of fun to see how that vote gets counted out at the end of the year.
Wow. Yelich is going to get votes. It's going to be airtight and out of sight.